This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, Connor Riley, I want to start with hoops first because it's front and center. We got SEC tournament going on or this week, and then obviously selection committee and all the stuff that'll happen getting ready for the tournament. Do you think Mike White has done enough with what they've done here as of late to get into the tournament? What do they have to do in the SEC tournament?
I do. I think they're safely in the tournament at this point. You look at the totality of their resume, I believe they only have one non-T1 loss, meaning aka all your losses are really good. They've got wins over St. John's team that is going to be a top 10 team, a win over a Florida team, which might be a one seed. They've got a win over a Kentucky team, which is going to be a top 3 seed there as well. So they've got the quality wins. They don't really have any bad losses. As we sit here, they're also ahead of teams like Oklahoma and Texas in the bubble picture, which they've beaten head-to-head. They play Oklahoma on Wednesday night, and I think that's a game where if you win that, you're playing for seeding more so than just trying to get into the tournament there.
I saw the Joe Lunardi, bracketology, so it looks good. Ironically, Oklahoma right now on the cusp, they are some of the first four out. So this game with Oklahoma has some importance coming up in two nights.
Yeah, and it's a team Georgia beat earlier in the season. Granted, that game was played at Segment Coliseum, where Georgia has just been a much better team. I think Oklahoma is going to be the hungrier team in this situation, just given, I think, what they're playing for and what's at stake with them, whereas this is a Georgia team. They're playing their best basketball of the season right now. They've won 4 games in a row. They've had double digits in all of those leads. And most importantly, I think you've seen growth from this team in the sense that they're not giving away games like they were earlier in the season. They're able to build those leads in the first half and then maintain them. Or in the case of Vanderbilt this past weekend, play a back-and-forth game in the first half and then go on a big run in the second half to come away with a win. So you've seen this team make big strides of late. They're playing their best basketball entering March. And, I mean, that's a tip of the cap to Mike White for getting what is still, I think, a very young basketball team to be doing that at this time of year, especially with the ups and downs they went through.
Connor, I agree. And, by the way, the Vandy win was big this weekend. I thought that was a big win. Vandy's good. For those who haven't watched Vandy this season, and that was a quality win. We're talking with Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. Let's shift gears and talk about the Dogs, spring football. Who are guys that you're watching to have maybe a breakout spring?
That's a great question, because there's a mix of guys that played a little bit last year, like a Chris Cole, I think, falls into that bucket. Former five-star inside linebacker. They've got to replace Jalen Walker and all that he brings to the table. I think Chris Cole has a chance to really be that guy. Whereas you maybe look at other spots, maybe a little bit further down the depth chart of guys who I think can play a little bit more, have a little bit more practice time this spring. And I think of someone like DeMelo Jones. I know we've talked a lot about Ellis Robinson and what he might do. The coaching staff loves DeMelo Jones and what he brings to this team, the toughness that he plays with. And as he enters year two, like, that cornerback position battle is going to be very fierce. And it wouldn't surprise me if DeMelo Jones, who not as hyped up as the five-star prospect that Ellis Robinson was, well, we come out of spring talking about DeMelo Jones as a guy that is going to be a contributor for this Georgia team this fall.
Connor Riley, guys. It's K. Connor Riley on Twitter for your Dog Nation fix. We got the big pro day coming up here on, what, Wednesday? And some of the guys who didn't get invited to the combine, like, you know, the perky Dan Jackson, Carl, and Benjamin Jurecic, Chaz Chambliss. So these guys all get a chance to show. Obviously not going to see Walker because of the quad injury, but we will see Mykael Williams.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity first for those first couple of guys who didn't get a chance to go to the pro day, or excuse me, to the NFL combine. Like, I believe Dan Jackson is going to be drafted regardless of whether or not the fact that he went to the NFL combine. I think if you look at the tape that he put out there, he's a better athlete than he gets credit for, and I think he's going to be someone who, whether it's special teams or actually helping in sub packages, has an NFL future, especially just playing at Georgia and everything that comes with that and how they prepare guys for the next year there. I think one of the more interesting things you're going to be watching in specifics here, what is the representation like for the Atlanta Falcons on Wednesday? Because I think this season, maybe more than any other in terms of following the draft, it's become a very real story of, is Atlanta going to take a Georgia player in the first round? But I think also potentially in the second round as well, because we talked so much about the edge rushers in the first round there, whether it be Jalen Walker or Mykael Williams. I look at someone like Jared Wilson there in the second round, who a quality athlete, a guy that I think his best football is ahead of him at that center position. And the Falcons just lost Drew Dowman to the Chicago Bears, reportedly, via free agency. And I wonder if there's a world where maybe in the first and second round, the Falcons double dip with Georgia players and they take an edge rusher like Mykael Williams at 15, and then in the second round come back and grab a guy like Jared Wilson. And I'm wondering just how interested, how into things tomorrow are the Atlanta Falcons brass going to be?
You know people would lose their mind, right?
you'd know that, right, if that actually happened. Connor, Dogs brought in 6 transfers this winter, 2 big dogs at wide receiver. What are your expectations for Zachariah Branch and former A&M receiver Noah Thomas? I mean, like, I keep talking to people, and they're like, man, these dudes are big, and they can catch the ball. And am I over-exaggerating that what they could mean to this offense?
No, I think Georgia needs them to come in and be difference makers. And these guys have contributed at the Power 4 level before. The early reports on Noah Thomas have been really, really good and really encouraging. And given Georgia didn't have a big-bodied wide receiver, especially down the stretch last season, what he might be able to bring in terms of winning those outside battles and stretching the field vertically, I think can't be understated, especially with what we've seen from Gunnar Stockton and the limited sample size in terms of how he likes to play. And as far as Zachariah Branch, you know, 5-star talent, really impactful special teams player, he's still got to develop as a wide receiver. And I think you look at, and I know Georgia fans are going to roll their eyes here a little bit, but you look at what James Coley did a year ago with Arian Smith, and I know drops were an issue with Arian Smith, but the way that he grew in other aspects, I think was really encouraging for how Georgia might try and use Zachariah Branch. Obviously, you hope Branch has the better ability at catching the football, but they need those two guys that they brought in to be instant impact players, if not the best wide receivers on the team next year.
The running backs, you know, we know that Frazier's got all the tools. I mean, are you worried about the fumbles, or is that all behind him now?
It's one of those things of just like, until it's something we don't see for a while, it's always going to be something that you worry about. This and the fumbles thing, even before it popped up in games for Georgia last season, like, he didn't play in the Alabama game because he had issues with ball security in practice. Like, it was not just a 1 or 2 off thing. This was something that plagued him all season long. And even in that Texas game, he had a fumble that Arian Smith was very fortunate to pounce on there. So it's going to be something where, and you've seen this at the NFL level. I think Tiki Barber famously had a fumbling issue early in his NFL career, and then he was able to fix it. I do think a lot of it is mental, and it is something that can be fixed. And that's something I think you can work on a lot in spring. But until we go a long time without seeing Nate Frazier fumble the ball, every time you see him fight for extra yards, I certainly understand if you're going to wince a little bit expecting that he might cough the ball up.
It's Connor Riley, guys, talking all things Dogs. So tomorrow is the first practice. Is that correct, Tuesday?
Yes, practice begins on Tuesday. Pro day is set for Wednesday.
All right, and spring game, obviously G-Day, is going to be April 12th. So how many practices are we talking about total? Is it 15 or 11?
Yeah, I get 15 in total.
Okay, so 15 practices total for the Dogs as we talk about all the things that are going on both sides of the football, guys. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting spring for Kirby, too, you know, and talk about his adjustments just briefly, Connor. When you talk about how he's approached these springs and what he's done differently? Because every spring it seems like he's doing something to enhance the team in a certain way.
Right, and it's going to be very interesting this year just because you see other college programs doing things differently with spring practice. You know, Texas isn't having a spring game. Missouri's not going to have one. So when we get a chance to talk to Kirby tomorrow, of the many things we want to hear about, whether it be injuries, you know, the decision to retain all 10 coaches from last year's coaching staff, what does he see as the value of spring football right now, just given how much college is changing, how much longer these seasons are going, and ultimately what he wants to get out of this team? I think that's one of the fair questions he'll be asked tomorrow, and I'll be interested in seeing what he answers because I think he's going to give a thoughtful answer on the subject.
Bringing it back to hoops before we wrap up with Connor Riley from Dog Nation, going to the big dance, hopefully making it out of the first round. Will that get more Georgia Bulldog boosters and more folks involved? I mean, what more do you need to get basketball really cooking with NIL and get more of these transfers to come? Because that's what the way I look at what Rick Pitino's doing. I look at what other coaches around the country are doing. What does Mike White need? And hopefully will this build some momentum for that program?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to phrase it, Mike, is build momentum. They've taken the first step. They've made the NCAA tournament for the first time in a decade. And like, you look at what Tennessee is doing now. You look at what Auburn is doing now. I'm old enough to remember, you know, those programs were dormant in basketball for long stretches of the 2010s. And because Rick Barnes at Tennessee and Bruce Pearl at Auburn were able to maintain success and build slowly, you've turned them into juggernauts where every year now they're getting top seeds in the NCAA tournament. With Georgia, it's not going to happen overnight. They're not going to bring in a bunch of new talent next year that dramatically raises the floor and ceiling of this program. But they've taken that first step. They've made the NCAA tournament this year. Maybe they're able to win a game. Mike White in his time at Florida never lost a game in the first round, 4-0 there. So next year, can you build off this? Can you go from a team that was scraping and fighting to get into the NCAA tournament, which they did, to a team that is comfortably in the tournament and maybe climbs higher up the SEC pecking order? It's not going to be a quick build, a quick turnaround for Mike White, but he's taken the first big step. And I think there's a reason to believe, especially with what they potentially can have come back next year, to keep building off this and eventually potentially get to the point where they have that kind of success.
Connor, tell the people where they can find you.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter at KConnorRiley. Busy, busy time with Georgia. We got the NCAA tournament next week. Ton of fun. Looking forward to it.